The one that comes to my mind is Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:7, he says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. And Tony, I'm not pronouncing anything about your end here. I'm not saying anything about your end, meaning like your race isn't done yet. But, the Apostle Paul is saying that, he says, hey, I have endured. I've gone through a long stretch, and I've faced many challenges, and the Lord has been in me, and I have been with him. And so we're going to hear a little bit about Tony's walk with the Lord. And so I invite you, why don't you go and have a seat there?
Yeah, okay. Can I say one thing?
Yeah, of course.
It's your day. It's all his fault I'm up here. But I love him. He's just a wonderful man of God. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Tony.
Yep. Good? I'm all hooked up.
You're up. You're ready. You're good. Tony wrote some things, but I think hopefully we're going to draw out a lot of it just free from you today. But I know that you also had a verse that I think you wanted to share. Is that right?
Yeah, there's a scripture verse that I have that I'd like to... there's a lot of scripture verses. The one thing that set on my mind last night was in the book of Joshua, when the scripture says that he was encouraging the people to meditate on the Word of God both day and night and never to give up. And that was the sustaining grace and the sustaining power of the children of Israel. So that was just a short one there.
Yeah, thank you. And yeah. I know, again, to run a long race, you need the Lord, you need the Word of the Lord, you need His encouragement with you.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
So, Tony, tell us a little bit about where you grew up and what it was like as you were growing up, because it's always helpful to know how God's working, to know where someone has come from.
Yeah. I could say this, Steve, being here this, Pastor Steve, I could say this, being here this morning, did you all feel the power of God this morning? Did you feel the move of the Holy Spirit in your life? To me, it was just like a replay of what I was exposed to in New York City. Growing up in the church, I didn't know anything about salvation, and it was almost pure accident that I came to Christ. So I grew up in New York City. It was many challenges. Those of you that have been into New York know how busy and active with so many things that are happening that you feel like you're in another world. So I grew up in that surrounding. It was a very competitive life. I had many, many friends. Those that were Christians and non-Christians. And what we used to do a lot in the city, we used to play stickball. And playing stickball is very similar to playing baseball in the street. Only thing you're using is softball, and you hit the ball with a broomstick. And you can let that ball go a whole block. And unfortunately, we had no regard for people's windows or anything. When we hit the ball, bingo, there goes another window, and everybody starts running to get away from the police. So that was part of a small snippet of growing up in New York City. We had our own team. The name of my team was called Lancers. And we even paid $2 a piece for a T-shirt, and it said Lancers on it. Anyhow, in view of that, we had a lot of different things in the city that I was not proud to be a part of. We had gang fights. I was instrumental in making homemade guns. and shooting, not shooting people, but just trying to be a big shot, you know what I mean? So God somehow looked through the clouds of darkness upon my life.
And Tony, your parents were not believers, right?
No, they were not. And so I'm glad you brought that up, Pastor. So what happened, my mother was a very sickly woman. I would come home from school and she would be laying down on the sofa and she would be moaning and groaning because she had terrible, terrible migraine headaches. And if any of you have been exposed to that type of ordeal, you know what I'm talking about. So when I would come home from school, there she would be on the sofa moaning and groaning, and I would say to her every day, I said, "Mom, is there anything I can do to help you?" And she'd say, "Son, there's nothing you can do." And that was before we received the Lord in our lives and in our home. So what happened, my mother had a very dear friend. Friends are necessary in this life. You need to have a friend that you can confide in and know that you can trust that individual. You know, the best friend we have is Jesus, correct? So he taught us how to develop friendships. And the friend that my mother had, she was very dear. Her name was Pauline. And so my mother's friend knew how bad my mother suffered. So she said to Pauline, she said to my mother, "Maria," she said, "what I could do is I'd like to have you meet my friends at my house for lunch and coffee." A typical way to encourage somebody, correct? And so my mother took up the invitation, Pastor, and my mother and I went to the house. And as soon as we walked into the house, Pauline came and greeted us. And her two friends were there. And their names were Rosina, good Irish names, right? Rosina and Christina.
Wait, Tony, are you Irish?
Was that? Yeah. And so they came over and they greeted my mother with hugs and kisses. They smothered her with love. And so she was exposed to that. And then as a result of, the thing was this. What they would do, these two sisters, I call them sisters, because unbeknownst to me, they were born again Christians. I didn't know that. So what happened is, they were preparing to eat their lunch with that Pauline had served. And before they would eat their lunch, they would get on their knees. Not say a quickie. They would get on their knees and they would pray. And I thought there was going to be a revival meeting, you know. And they prayed for about 45 minutes. That God would bless the food, bless the fellowship, and they went on and on. And so I could not, get over the way they were. And so they met this lady, Pauline, and they invariably invited my mother to church. That was the key. So they invited my mother to church, and I went with her. And they were singing. You know, this was a replay this morning of what I witnessed in the church. We constantly had the fire of the Holy Spirit bubbling over in the congregation, and it just carried over from member to member. And so what happened, we had this experience in the church of having altar calls like you experienced this morning, and the people came up, they didn't even have to say anything, they just they gravitated right to the front of the sanctuary. And so the thing is, after the service, they had a similar activity by the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit takes hold of an individual, you're not the same. So what happened, we experienced the power of the Holy Spirit, so much so that my mother accepted Christ into her heart. I accepted the Lord. So what happened, I started coming home from school, and my mother wouldn't be moaning and groaning on the couch. And all of a sudden, you heard her singing hymns that she was learning in church, and the joy of the Lord was overpowering her. And when my mother got filled with the Holy Spirit, she would walk, she would go on her knees all around the church praising the Lord. And so there was such an intense experience of getting an infilling of God's presence in your life that you could never, never be the same. I developed a saying, and it's this. I don't know, maybe somebody else came up with it. You can never, never be the same person once God touches you with the finger of God. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? You will never, never be the same. And so what happened, we experienced the touch of God in such a wonderful, magnificent way that we could never stop the enthusiasm that was going in the church. Go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah, I was wondering if you would tell us about the story when you were praying in your room, in your mom's room.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And the Holy Spirit showed up.
Okay. Thank you. I was going to get there, Steve, but thank you. So what happened, I was a young boy. I was probably in my early teens, 13 years old. You notice I said 13 like they say in New York, 13. But anyhow, what had happened, I was helping my mother washing my twin sister's diapers. So I just finished helping her. And so what happened, I was just aimlessly hanging around the house. We had a very small apartment, three-room apartment. And I went up to my mother. I said, you know, Mom, I feel like God wants to talk to me. I said, I just don't know. I have this feeling. And she said to me, well, you know what you do, son? Go in my bedroom and kneel down at the foot of the bed. And all you have to do is just praise the Lord. And just say simple things like, thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. I love you. Hallelujah. Your name is wonderful. And so what had happened, I went into the bedroom, and no sooner I put my knees down on the foot of, by the foot of the bed, my hands just shot up like this, like the song we were singing this morning, All I Have Is Hands, and my hands went up, and believe me when I tell you this, that room lit up like it was, I don't want to say fire, but there was like a glow in that room. I couldn't believe what was happening to me. And so when I experienced that, I said, wow. I said, this is wonderful. So I get up off my knees and I go into the kitchen where my mother was and I said, Mom, I said, I don't know what happened, but I went in and I started praying. My hands went up in the air, and bingo, all of a sudden the room lit up like it was a 500-watt bulb. And so she says, you know what? Go back and pray some more. And that's what I did. I went back into the room. I got on my knees, and no sooner did I got on my knees, brothers and sisters, I mean to tell you, my hand shot right up again. Bingo! Like somebody just pulled them up. And I started praising the Lord and praising the Lord. And I started speaking like I didn't have, I was almost incoherent because the words were flowing out of my mouth as an act of worship to the Lord. So that was my intense first experience of having an electrical, powerful contact with my Savior, and that's the experience that I experienced.
Wow. You know, we were at a conference yesterday. We shared about you with you guys the journey to transformation, and the speaker there shared something that I'd never really thought of before. And he said that in the Scripture, in the New Testament, our confidence in our salvation in Jesus Christ is never built on a past experience. And because I got the Cliff Notes, I know Tony, like, that's a powerful experience you had. And yet, and you always can look back on it and draw power from it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But also, you didn't continue in a straight line with the Lord.
Oh, no.
Tell us what happened as you continued through your teen years.
Yeah, I could bring you up to date on that. By the way, I noticed Shannon Parker sitting in the back there, and I just want to thank her for being instrumental in helping me put my notes together and my thoughts, and she was very helpful in helping me to assimilate everything. So thank you, Shannon. God bless you. Continue to serve the Lord. Amen. So what was that question?
So as you continued in your teen years, and you started to draw away from the Lord, right?
That's right.
Tell us what happened.
So what had happened, I started going to church. And then after I started going to church, I started to drift away. What happened, the attraction of the world was starting to take hold of me. And things that, you know, we used to consider being sinful, I would be doing it. I would be hanging around with the wrong type of people. So I was torn between two worlds. The world of serving the Lord and the world serving Satan. And so that was a turning point in my life. And so my mother noticed that my drifting was getting far away from God, and she felt so bad because when I used to go to church, I really loved it. You know, you experienced the love of Christ in there this morning, didn't you? So that's the same thing. So when I experienced that, the touch of God in my life, and then all of a sudden, because Satan has a beautiful way of distracting your life from serving and following after him. So that's what happened. I started drift away. So we had a dear brother by the name of Brother Frank Mangano, who was actually born and raised in Boston. He married a young lady from our church in the Bronx. And so as he did that, he started helping the pastor there as an associate pastor with the church. So one day my mother went up to him and said, "Brother Frank, could you do me a favor?" She said, "What's that, Sister Mary?" He said, "Would you please see what you can do to get my son Anthony to come back to church?" So Brother Frank started coming down the streets in New York looking for me where my hangouts were. And so I would see him coming from around the corner, and I would say to myself, "Oh, there comes that pain on the neck again." And I knew what he was up to. So I said to him, he came up to me and he says, "Anthony, why don't you come to church with me tonight? I said, nah, not tonight, Brother Frank. I just don't. So he kept coming like a faithful servant of the Lord. Never give up. Never give hope a last chance. Always hang on to your hope. And he came faithfully every single week. I don't know how many weeks he did it for, but he came. So I got kind of tired of him. And I used to be down in the basement with the guys playing, gambling, or doing whatever. And I knew it wasn't right. And so what had happened, he came searching for me, and he found me again. And he said, Anthony, why don't you come tonight? And I said to myself, you know, the next time Brother Frank comes, it must have been the Holy Spirit. I can't attribute it to anything else. When you want to say yes to God, and Satan is holding you back. And so he came and he said to me, Anthony, will you come to church with me tonight? And I said to myself, sure, you know, I'll come. And we went to the house. I had to put on a fresh change of clothes, and I had to put on my new, I always used to keep my shoes nice and shiny. And so he said to me, your shoes look awfully shiny, but he didn't know it. I was a shoe shine boy. So anyhow, we went to church, Pastor Steve, and the glory of the Lord that day filled the church. And I was compelled to go to the altar. I was compelled. Compelled. You know what that means? Compelled? You are pulled. You are taken. Going from one direction, going into another direction. So I was compelled to go to the altar, and I prayed again to receive the Lord, to wash my sins away and make me whole again. And so he did that. And so after that point, that's when I started to really mean business with God.
Yeah, and I'm actually curious, you shared a few weeks ago that you estimate that you've led that you've led about 800 people to Christ in your lifetime.
I would say, yeah.
So when did that start? When did that just desire and yearning for sharing the goodness of God with other people, where did that begin for you?
It actually began at the altar. When I came to the altar to rededicate my life to Christ, I said, like the young lady that came up here and testified this morning, I will give all of my service to you. Nothing that I own belongs to me. So that's basically when I came into a realization that people need to know and come to know the Lord. It's nice to come into the sanctuary, everything is nice, but it's also nice to go out in that sanctuary where Satan is waiting. It's very nice to go out there and you see the thousands and the hundreds of people either with frowns on their face, going so fast, they don't have time to stop and say hello. So it's out there, brothers and sisters, where God is leading you today. Because of what you saw today, he's speaking to your heart. And if I've seen quite a few people up here today that you heard the voice of God. So, yeah, Pastor, go ahead.
Yeah, as you talk about having that yearning to go out and share the gospel, Was it almost like a spontaneous thing? Did you have to learn about it? I mean, I think that there's, you know, there's this desires that we have, but then there's also, you know, kind of like, there's the heart and there's skill and there's these different things. Like, what was that process for you like? Because I remember also you sharing about how you started handing out Bibles. So how did you learn to do these things?
Like I had mentioned, the church I went to was very evangelistic. We used to go to parks. Oh, I didn't tell you this. This is cute. Those two ladies that led my mother to go to church, you know what they would do every morning? They would take shopping bags, get a load of that, full of tracts. They'd go on the subway from 8 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock at night, giving out tracts to people and say with Italian accent, here, Jesus loves you, and that type of thing.
If you don't know, a gospel tract is just a little pamphlet that explains the gospel for people and has some Bible verses and an invitation to accept Jesus as your Savior.
Right.
So they would hand these out.
And they would hand these, and they had to make sure they got home before their husbands came home from work because they were big guys and they wanted their food on the table. So that's the story. She, you know, there was an evangelistic fervor in our church, and you grew into wanting to be able to talk to people about Christ. And you know, I always say this. You can go to school for 4, 5, 10 years. There's only one way that you're going to learn is by putting into practice what you are receiving. I put into practice every day what I read in the scripture. You want to put into practice what God is teaching you through his word. He says, come and follow me. He gives you so many wonderful divine instructions that you cannot avoid being taught by the Holy Spirit. Amen? The Holy Spirit is the teacher. Jesus said to his disciples, I'm going to send you another comforter. And that comforter is going to lead you into all truths. Amen. So that's the teacher.
I love that. There's a... I'm watching the time. There's a quick story about how you began to distribute Bibles. And then I want you to tell us about Mary Lou.
How what?
How you began to distribute Bibles.
Okay.
And then I'd love for you to tell us about,
I'll do that.
Your life with Mary Lou and some of that. I want to make time for that.
Yeah. One quick thing I left out was when I was in the military, I used to have pastor friends of mine that used to give me names of pastors and churches to visit. I remember distinctly, I went to church in Genoa visiting people that I had no idea who they were. But you know what? It was the same power, the same spirit, the same love of God. And this is what drew me. So, you know, it's the exposure that you have with your fellow brothers and sisters, exposure to the Word of God. So your question is this, right? How did I start giving out Bibles? I was going to, before I started membership here, I was going to the Church of Emmanuel Baptist Church in Norfolk. Wonderful church, wonderful congregation, sweet people, and I still associate with them. They're wonderful. So I had a friend there in the church, and I'll never forget this. There's always one individual that's going to make a difference in your life. Am I right? And so this individual, his name is Jeff Chick, wonderful man of God. He came up to me one day after church, and he had a fistful of Bibles. And he said to me, Tony, if I give you these Bibles, would you give them out? And I said, sure, no trouble, Jeff. So he gave me the Bibles, and I gave them out, talked to people about the Lord. I come back next Sunday to church, and I'm looking for Jeff. And Jeff, hey, Jeff, he said, I said, I'm all out of Bibles. Can you give me some more? And he gave me more. Well, this went on for about 3-4 months. I was giving out Bibles. I didn't even count those Bibles as part of my calculations. But anyhow, so he said to me, Tony, how would you like to become a Gideon? I said, right now, I don't feel the call of God to go in to being a Gideon. So my wife and I would leave to go to Florida for 4 months every year. So we would go down and we attended a beautiful church. There was excitement in the church. It was very evangelistic. and so what happened, we started going to that church, made tons of friends, brothers and sisters. And then I had the experience of meeting a fella by the name of John. And unbeknownst to me, he was a Gideon. And he came up to me and he said, Tony, what do you say we go out to lunch? And I said, sure, let's go. So we went out to lunch and he said to me, say, Tony, would you consider becoming a Gideon? And I said to him, well, John, let me put it this way. I would consider it, but I have a friend back home who asked me the same question. And if I am going to join the Gideons, I am going to have to sign up with Jeff because I feel obligated that he was the first one to ask me, and it was only right that I would do that. So he said, that's great, as long as you join, you know? So I got back home from our winter vacation and looked up Jeff, and I said, Jeff, I think the Lord is tugging at my heartstrings.
And how many Bibles have you passed out, do you think?
I think up until yesterday it was like, that's not counting the ones I gave, but I think I gave out like, say, almost 2,700 Bibles. Yeah, 2,700.
What a blessing.
Yeah.
You know, that people have the Word of God.
Yeah.
Because most of them strangers, right?
Not a single one. I was acquainted with some of them, yes. But let me say this. When God touches you, there is no barriers. Whether I went into the doctor's office, we would end up praying at times. I would be laying hands on doctors. If I went into an x-ray room, I would say to somebody, if you see somebody running around in me, that is, what's his name, Daniel running around in the so after I come out of my Novocaine, I said, did you see anybody? No. But anyhow, yes, I gave out Bibles to whoever, Walmart. You know, you name it, Pastor.
I have actually, I don't know if I've told you this, I ran into somebody who got a Bible from you at a store one time.
Oh, really?
And yeah, I mean, you didn't know who they were, but I knew them, and I got a Bible from a guy named Tony.
Oh, really?
And it was one of your Bibles. You know, they were just at a store, and I've heard many stories like this. Now, this is important. The Holy Spirit does not help you to do these things. It's not that he helps you and so you can do them. You do them and so he helps you.
Yes.
Right? It's that when we step out in faith, then
that's
the power
the key.
Comes. If you wait for the power, you'll never step out.
Never accept it.
You step out first, and then it comes.
That's right.
Yeah. Tony, we do have, I'm just looking at the time. We want to hear a little bit about, we didn't get to talk about your family very much.
Yeah. Oh.
But I just wanted you to share a little bit about Mary Lou and about what it's been like these most recent years without her.
Well, yes. You know, I did, thank you, Steve, for bringing that up. I have two wonderful children. Paul, married to my wonderful daughter-in-law. She's the best in the whole world. And I love to say that I was instrumental in being, what do you call the person that was instrumental?
Matchmaker
at my sister's wedding. So anyhow, I'm so thankful to God that He gave me two wonderful children, wonderful daughter-in-law, three wonderful grandchildren. So I had a lot of experience in the chemical industry. I traveled all over the country, parts of the world, selling chemicals. And so the thing is, God developed me and my skills to coincide with my Christian enthusiasm for serving the Lord. So God gives you a gift to multiply what you already have, and He supplies and furnishes the necessary ingredients. You know, it's like Sonia's going to cook a meal, right? And she's going to put the certain ingredients in the meal to make sure it's correct. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He puts certain ingredients in our life to blend it all together, so at the end, we have made a wonderful presentation before the Lord. Amen? So that's pretty much. And then I had my wife, my dear, wonderful wife. We were married for 62 wonderful years. We loved each other very much. Thank you, folks. And, you know, I have to say that at times maybe I was not the best husband, but I tried. And the same thing as being a parent. If you pull Paul aside, you say, hey, what about your dad, you know? So, but yeah, I mean, I tried to be a good parent, and I made sure that my family knew what it meant to go to church. Parents, if you have children, continue to bring them to church. That is where their future lies, because you want to make sure that they graduate to be with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So, yes, if we moved as a family, we made sure we found a Christian church to plant our feet, whether it was in Ohio, whether it was some parts of Massachusetts, but there was always a time that we made sure that we looked for a good congregation, Sunday school, all these activities that good churches provide. When I say good churches, I mean those that are spirit-led and really enjoy the presence of God. So that's what, my life was always around church. And my wife, God bless her, she was a choir director, she was a Sunday school teacher, she was the piano player, I was the worship leader, and the list goes on. Total devotion, not changed one iota. And my daughter-in-law could attest to it. So,
well, I think we're going to end here, but I want to share one thing that I really admire about Tony. And I've had many conversations with him And one of the things that I've noticed about him, Tony, how old are you?
91.
91.
Yeah.
So this man is still growing in the Lord. He still studies the Word. He's taking seminary classes to learn more about the Scripture. He has experienced now great joys, but also deep losses with the loss of your wife and challenges. You guys know that he almost lost his life in a fall 2 years ago now.
Yeah.
But the Lord keeps growing new things in you. You keep trusting him for more. And what you share with me is that you feel more like you love him more now, and you feel more drawn to him, and you are more excited about him than you've maybe ever been.
I you hit the nail on the head, Steve. Really, when I had that accident and came face to face with death, and then I had all the wonderful people that gathered around me, patching me up together and making me whole again with the help of the Lord. It was, nothing. I can't say it's nothing but a miracle that I'm sitting here in front of you folks. Yeah. Just a miracle, and all the glory and honor belongs to our Lord. So stay. You know what? I wanted to close this portion of my. Unless you want me to answer a few other things.
No, we're out of time. So share with us.
Okay. I'm going to do that. I just want to get two scripture verses that I put down here. You'll have to excuse me, folks. There are two scripture verses that I'd like to close with. And it goes like this. Isaiah 40:31, and I'm sure that you are familiar with this. They that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary, and they shall walk and not faint. If that's you or not you, I challenge you to try and do it. And then in Isaiah 11, which is, I like to call it almost like God's second chance for us. And it goes like this, Isaiah 11:10-11. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place, hallelujah, will be glorious. In that day, the Lord would reach out his hand a second time to reclaim the surviving remnant of his people. We are his remnant. Amen. That's it, Steve.
Thank you so much, Tony. Let's give this man.
Thank you, Steve. By the way, I do have to say I love this pastor, and I want to thank you, Steve, for the opportunity to share this honor with the congregation and trying to encourage you folks to keep pressing on with the Lord. So thank you, Pastor.
Oh, thank you so much. We're going to pray right now. Lord, we thank you for Tony, for his life, for what you've done to raise him up and to turn him into the man of God that he is. And Lord, we know that doesn't mean that he's perfect, but Lord, to have a role model, an example like this, Lord, we just thank you, and we ask that you help us also to run a good race. Lord, help us to live a life that honors you. Give us the fire and zeal for your gospel, Lord, that Tony has had and that he still has to this day. And Lord, for those of us who are further on in our journey, Lord, help those to remember that your life is never done until it's done. That the growing doesn't stop, and it won't stop even when you go to glory. But there's no retirement from the Christian life. There's just a continuing of walking with Jesus. And for those of us who are not as far along, Lord, help us to remember that we're not in a sprint, but we're in a marathon. God, help us to run our race well and to end well. And then those who are in this early stages, Lord, I pray that you give them just an encouragement and a hope that even at a young age, that they can experience the goodness of the Holy Spirit, the power of the gospel, and the blessing of not only a family, but a church family and a community that's committed to Jesus. So Lord, we thank you for these things, and we pray in your name. Amen.